Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Welcome to Sports Day. Great to have your company. What a day it's been at the Olympic Games. The news headlines for Polaris, Australia's number one off-road vehicle brand, 7 Olympic medals, 3 of those gold, Paul Hazelby, and we've wound back the clock 25 years.
Oh, it was unbelievable. It was like a golden hour when I woke up. Jeez, I was jumping around the lounge room by myself this morning, Carl, just celebrating all the wins. And that girl, she did it again, Ariane Titmus, to go with the 400. She's got gold in the 200-metre freestyle today. Great to see her. Rowing teams, men's and women's, four: Lucy Steffen, Rosemary Popper, Jessica Morrison and Annabelle McIntyre, the West Aussie. For the women and for the men, Alex Purnell, Spencer Turin, Jack Hargraves and Alex Hill were a part of that, and a bronze too also in the 4x200m freestyle relay. What a day it was, and that hour, geez, I was excited.
Yeah, well, the men's and women's quad sculls also won the bronze medals, and Rowan Dennis this afternoon in the cycling time trial with the other Olympic winners. Sadly, Skye Nicholson in the boxing, she was beaten in a decision by the great British girl Karis Artingstall, 29-28, 29-28, 30-27. So that's as close as a female boxer's ever come to winning. And the sensational story comes out of the US with Simone Biles last night pulling out of the US team event. They won silver without her, and then this afternoon she is pulled out of the all-around event in which she was favourite to win the gold medal. Ash Barty and Storm Sanders were beaten in their doubles tennis match today as well. And we've got plenty of AFL news that we'll touch on a little bit later. Get Ranger confidence for the price of a quad. Visit your local Polaris dealer today. We'll get into our Wednesday wine next.
Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Let's get into our Wednesday wine. The rock stars of rock breaking, DM Breaker, Paul Hazelby. Where do you want to start?
Well, I want to start with what we spoke about yesterday with Buddy Franklin. And then today, the news coming out of the AFL that they have barred boxing and sparring effective immediately between individual players. So you can no longer get in the ring together and box, not even wearing helmets. The AFL come out today and said they don't like that. They don't believe it's a good look for the game. But on the back of what we saw yesterday, Carl, with Buddy Franklin, I just don't think they've got this absolutely right, because boxing has a lot of good benefits for players as well. It gives confidence. It helps them get out of tough situations and build resilience. But of course, concussion is topical. They want to eliminate it. But I think this is going too far.
It's going way too far. I mean, I might be old and in the dark ages, but one thing that we had is we had professional boxing coaches at the West Coast Eagles. We had a bloke, the late and great Laurie Flanders, who used to teach us how to box. He fought for our country, and he was a magnificent boxer. We had Ian Dargie's father, and then Dargs's dad left us, and then Ian Dargie, who was a Golden Gloves himself, used to teach us.
What a name.
He used to teach us how to box down at Subiaco. So got to learn from a few of the very good boxers.
It's good for your confidence, isn't it?
Well, it's not only good for your confidence, but it's good for your movement as well, because, mate, I wasn't exactly what you would call light on my feet, but I got great benefit from getting the intuition to actually stand on your toes and actually be a little bit more balanced, because one of the most important things is when you're boxing is to making sure that you've got good balance. And it's really important moving through traffic. Some guys are naturals at it, like Peter Matera and Chris Judd, but there was a lot of benefits around having boxing involved and being in that situation. It's not the same when you're in there and you're just boxing a bag, because it's not coming back at you. You're not put in that same sort of situation.
There's adrenaline, isn't there? If somebody's throwing something at you, you're right on. All your senses are up.
And look, I played with a lot of blokes, and I won't put them in it tonight.
Summer.
I said I won't put them in it tonight. There were some guys that didn't like it, but then the others of us that want to do that training should be allowed to. I don't see the point when you've got a Lance Franklin elbow that gets forced back, when you've got accident. It's a contact sport. Unfortunately, there's going to be head collisions. If we don't expect there to be head collisions and contact to the head, then let's give up now.
100% agree with that. And you can't eliminate it all from the game. It's on the back of Mitch Lewis, who was concussed after being accidentally punched in the jaw by Jacob Kaczynski. It's only a one-off that we know about. It now, it did happen to me early or late in my career, but that's a long time and there's only two there, so I think you've got to put up with it. It does have some good benefits. The other thing I want to whine about, Carl, is cancer. Some bad news coming out of North Melbourne with Ben Cunnington. He had surgery after a discovery of a testicular tumour for Ben Cunnington, so let's hope he can get through that.
Yeah, well, I, you know, like, it's not a whine wine for me. I think the great part is that these blokes these days are, I think, well enough educated to notice if there's something wrong. And I think it's really important and a really good message to send to all the blokes out there that if you notice a change in your body, go and get it checked out straight away, because Ben Cunnington did earlier this week. Straight away they took swift action. Straight away he got some scans. Straight away they found a tumour. Straight away he's in for surgery. He's had the operation and we'll give him time to recover with his family, and that's what he deserves. So I'm looking forward to Ben Cunnington making a full and hopefully
swift... He's a champion
swift,
player, isn't he?
Brilliant. I mean, just look at the way he's been playing. I mean, North Melbourne have been so good with him in the team, and you know, last week I think he had 27 disposals, but he's tackling. The little things that he does with his body work around contest is brilliant.
He's just below Fife and Dangerfield and Pendlebury, I reckon, over the last decade. He's in that category. He's that good.
He's not as smooth and not as pretty as those guys, but
effective.
But he is so effective, and that's what makes him so great. We will clear a commitment. Rock breakers, pile drivers, screening and crushing buckets, DM Breaker Equipment are Australia's leading rock breaker specialists. DMbreaker.com is where you'll find them. Amy Franklin, the Dockers' number one draftee, will join us next. Welcome back to Sports Day. It's great to see a young person get an opportunity in the AFL, Hayes. Like you and I did in our past lives, mate. Now we do the easy stuff, just sit here and talk about it, and we watch these youngsters evolve. And the latest drafted to your football club, Paul Hayes, will be the Freo Dockers AFLW team draftee. It's great to have a young lady, Amy Franklin, joining us here on Sports Day. She comes out of the Claremont Footy Club. Amy, how are you feeling? Welcome.
Oh, guys, I don't even know where to start. I mean, I've got Kiara Bowers in my house and I've just been selected to Freo Dockers. So, I mean, it's been an amazing day.
Say good day to Turbo. She's certainly somebody you can look up to because she's been a fabulous player herself.
Oh, she's an amazing player. You can't even describe her. She's just out of this world.
So going into the draft, what were your expectations? Had you been told by the clubs that you were a fair chance to get picked up?
I mean, you kind of get little talk, like chatters about where you could possibly go. But I mean, I wasn't expecting this at all. And I mean, I was just sitting around with my family and just watching it, like hoping the best for everyone. But I was not expecting my name to be called out for the first pick for Freo.
So who had made contact with you? Who had you spoken to in the lead up to this?
I've had interviews with both clubs, but nothing was really certain or put in place for me. I guess it was more just on the day what the decision was, really.
Now, tell us a bit about you, about your background. Where have you grown up? Where have you strutted your stuff? And who have been the people that you've looked up to get to this point?
Oh, well, I hadn't grown up playing footy. I'd always just watched my brother play down at Ocean Ridge, the local club. And I mean, I wasn't too interested in it at a young age. And to be honest, I don't think I was interested in sports in general. I never really played any sport until the age of 14. I played soccer for a little bit before I got into footy. One of my best friends actually got me into footy. I barely knew her at the time. And she just randomly came up to me and said, "Hey, a couple of the girls are going to be playing down at Ocean Ridge. Like, they're getting their first ever women's team together. Do you want to come down and try out?" And I looked at her with crazy eyes thinking, women's footy? I had no idea that that was even a thing back in 2018. And I guess I went down there and I literally fell in love with it instantly. And from that point on, I just constantly loved playing with the footy. And I'd always loved being around the girls playing footy. It was an amazing experience.
And what about from a positional point of view? Where do you think you'll end up playing for the Fremantle Dockers?
Well, down at Claremont, I was always in the forward line, just all chucked all over the place. But in free, I have no clue. It's wherever they want me, I'll try my best.
There's a few opportunities there in the forward line too, with Sabrina Duffy not being there and Sharp, the other one, who's obviously taking a year away of footy. So there is a good chance that you could go straight into that forward line if you work hard.
Yeah, well, the hard work starts now. I guess I'm just really excited to be a part of it. And I mean, to be in the forward line would be an amazing opportunity for me, as it's just that's my comfort zone.
Amy, I'm looking at the draft profile here, and it comes up with Franklin, 177 centimetres, key position utility, key strengths, athleticism, overhead marking, versatility and upside. What do you reckon your upside is?
Oh, I guess that's just, I'm not too sure. The upside, I could be anything.
Yeah, well, that's good. Now, your ability to hit the scoreboard from inside 50, this is something that we see both in the men's and women's game, is the regularity of hitting the scoreboard. It seems to be an increasingly difficult art. Hayes and I sit here shaking our heads week in, week out about the inability of senior players, both men and women, to be able to hit the scoreboard. You rate yourself in that area?
I'd like to think that I get the job done when it's needed, and I mean, I try my best to be in the right position at the right time to get the scores on the board, you know, nice and early, I guess.
Sports Day for Kia, the Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year, and Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Welcome back to Sports Day. We have Jordan Loxley, the Eagles AFLW list manager, on the radio tonight. Welcome, Jordan. How are you?
Good, Carl. How are you?
Yeah, going really well. Hayes and I are here to talk about the girls. Hayes, what do you think?
Well, they did pretty well. Let's start with pick number three. Your first pick, Charlie Thomas from Subiaco, a forward mid type. Tell us a bit more about her.
Yeah, so Charlie unfortunately missed most of the year this year with a broken wrist, but super talented player, can play, you know, in a few different spots on the ground, makes really good decisions and good ball user. So we'll wrap together, to be honest. Yeah, we didn't need to see much, but what she does bring, we're really excited.
Courtney Rowley, tell me a bit more about her. Peel Thunder midfielder, probably played in the grand final, the recent win for Peel Thunder, did she?
No, she's actually injured. She rolled her ankle, so missed the last 4 to 6 weeks. But she has played in the previous flag. She's been playing with them in their league team since she was 15. She's one of best and fairest, probably the best performed player in the WA pool. And we weren't sure if she'd get through Fremantle's second pick or Fremantle's first pick. But when she did, we were really keen to jump it and get her. So, yeah, really hardworking, quick. Mid, can play inside and out and kick some goals. So, as I said, we're really excited when she was there for us.
Well, I was looking at some of the predictions by the experts, and they thought you might have taken her with your first pick. So to slip through to 21, that's a good pick-up by your club there. Tell us more about Beth Schilling. She was taken at pick 24 from Peel Thunder.
Yeah, a few people might have been surprised with this pick, but she's a really competitive key back. Had an outstanding national championships for WA. So from that, we continue to watch her. She marks it really well, can lock down, defend, and uses the ball well. So and she can also pinch it in the ruck. So, yeah, a bit of a surprise, but we're just really, really keen to bring her in. So we thought we'd have a crack at her at pick 24.
Pick 40, Sarah Lakey, another ruck coming in. You've already got some good ruck support from Swan Districts. Tell us a bit more about her.
Yeah, so bringing Sarah in, hopefully we'll free Paris up to play maybe a little bit more forward this year. She's 186-centimetre ruck. She actually broke the combined vertical leap by about 10 centimetres. So at that size and her athletic ability, she's going to be pretty hard to stop in the ruck. So had an outstanding grand final for Swan. And they actually ended up winning it. So when she was there, we thought, there's the ruck we want. So we brought her in.
And another defender, pick 47, Emily Bennett, another player from Claremont.
Yeah, she is. She also had another outstanding under-19s carnival. She's probably unlucky to miss out in the All-Australian, to be honest. Really good ball user off half-back. Tough, competitive, can probably also play mid. And, so when she was there, she actually done the hard way. She's had a few injuries and she's a 19-year-old and she just she keeps on getting better and better. So we thought giving her opportunity and she was over the moon when we spoke to her, to be honest. So it's always nice giving these girls opportunities, and I think she'll be a really good player for us.
Three 17-year-olds to start with, then an 18-year-old, then a 19-year-old, a blonde and four brunettes. In the end, it doesn't matter about your hair colour. It comes down to your football ability. What else do you need now, Jordan? What's left available for spots on the list, and what's the process between now and when your season gets underway?
Yeah, so we've actually, so it's a squad of 30 now and we had 5 selections. So that's our list done for the year. So we brought in Evie Gooch and Amy Schmidt through the trade period. And then we brought 5 in through the draft and that's us for the year. So we're really excited with how the list is. Obviously, we're young and developing and these 5 draftees will complement our current squad nicely.
Jordan Loxley there. We'll clear a commitment, come back with motorsport with Matt McKeldin next.
Sports Day for Kia, the Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year, and Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Let's get into our motorsport segment with Matt McKeldin. How are you going, Matt?
Mate, I am superb. I am brilliant. I am outstanding. You could even say good.
Good. Well, I want to ask you, because I keep on going to the Supercar Championship website, which is supercars.com for those that aren't regulars to this particular sport. And I look at the next event and it says upcoming events, Bunnings Trade Perth Super Night, September 11, 12. Now, do we have the other event that has been hopefully confirmed up in your neck of the woods yet, or is it still ongoing?
It's still ongoing. We are waiting for... Well, it's been confirmed. The next event is going to be August 21 to 22 at the Paperclip, Ipswich, Queensland Raceway. The Bunnings Trade Perth Super Night was extended to September 11th and 12th. So got pushed out just a little bit. But at this stage, it looks as though we're going to be going to Ipswich. And that's, of course, allowing for the Melbourne teams to be able to get up here. There's no teams in Sydney, so the fact that we're actually hopefully getting out of lockdown in Melbourne in the next 24 hours, we'll be able to see those teams up at Queensland. So you will get supercars, let's hope, in September, September 11 and 12.
And it means that for anyone in New South Wales, obviously, or is there no teams in New South Wales which enables things to proceed without any problem?
Ironically, Team Sydney is not in Sydney. Team Sydney are based here in Queensland. They do have a base in Sydney, but given the difficulties that everyone's experiencing in New South Wales, when they finished the last round in Townsville, they did not return to Sydney. So they will be clear to, of course, get over to Ipswich. So as long as the Queensland government allows personnel, teams, drivers, all that sort of stuff to come up to Queensland, hopefully we will go racing in just a couple of weeks.
Matty, Todd and Rick Kelly have sold their remaining stake, or are going to sell the remaining stake in Kelly Grove Racing. What does this mean?
Well, it means that for the first time since 1999, we will not have the Kelly Racing, or the Kelly name, in supercars. They sold a 50% stake in the team at the start of the year, but and Rick Kelly, who you're all aware of, he retired at the end of last year as well. So it's only been Todd Kelly within the business, and I think now they've decided that it's time to hang up, I guess, the active role within the company. They will still be, he will still be working in the background because they're retaining the CNC shop, the engine shop, all that sort of stuff. So they'll be developing parts. They're still going to own the cars, but the actual race team will be owned by Stephen Grove and his group and his son. And they'll take it on to the next iteration, I suppose.
Now, having a look at the Formula One this week, they head to Hungary before they'll have a little bit of a break. What are you expecting here?
This is a great circuit. I love this circuit. As a race driver, you look at this circuit, you know, it's got nothing to do with power. This circuit is all about handling. It's a place where one of your boys, Dan Ricciardo, has gone well in the past. He won it when he was racing for Red Bull, but it's tight, it's twisty, and it's technical. So what this will show you, what you'll need to look out for this weekend, if Dan has a good race and McLaren have a good race, it means the car is working well, the chassis, the balance, all that kind of thing. It's not necessarily the engine. It's not a power circuit, as I said. So let's hope that Dan can do well there. It is a place where he's enjoyed success, as has Lewis Hamilton. He won it last year from Max Verstappen, and the flow-on effect now going into this. This is the last race before they go on summer break, before they all head to their boats in Monaco and sip pina coladas and hang out with their girlfriends. Mm. But I tell you one thing, after the last race at Silverstone, where Max Verstappen made it to the fence thanks to Lewis Hamilton, the repair bill on that car, boys, a cool $1.8 million.
Matt McKeldin there. We'll finish off with the sports wrap next.
Sports Day for Kia, the Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year, and Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Righto, Hayes, for those that haven't caught up with the day's news, let's give them a wrap.
Well, Ariane Titmus, of course, 200-metre freestyle gold to go with her 400. Our rowing teams, men's and women's, four have done very well, gold medals, and it all happened pretty quickly in the space of 1 hour. We've got a bronze medal in the 200-metre relay. Jess Fox, C1, she missed out yesterday, got the bronze, but she qualifies fifth for for the semi-final. Skoll Nicholson unfortunately missed out in the boxing. She lost in the quarterfinals. And just some AFL news around the injury list out for the West Coast Eagles today, a little bit late. But Tom Barras 1 week away. Jack Petrocelli has a chance to play this weekend, as is Jack Redden, returning from his leg injury. And Liam Ryan has been listed as 2 weeks. Luke Shuey, 1 to 2 weeks away.
All right, still plenty of action coming your way tonight when it comes to the Olympic Games. Looking forward to seeing how a couple of those Aussie teams end up when it comes to their aspirations to stay in medal hunts. Of course, it includes our soccer team, which is playing action tonight, and also looking forward to some equestrian, which is in action tonight, as well as along with our...
Kookaburras.
Kookaburras, that's right, Hayes, and they will be playing against New Zealand. The boys in the soccer are taking on Egypt in that clash. So looking forward to all of that action unfolding. Thanks for your company. We will see you again from 6 o'clock tomorrow. Take care.